Make it so. Make it so. Make it so. Make it so.
Helm, warp one.
Warp two. Warp factor eight. Engage. Engage.
Engage. Engage.
Tea Earl Grey hot. Tea Earl Grey hot.
Tea Earl Grey hot.
Would you like some tea?
Okay, hello and welcome to Earl Grey and Picard. I am Steven.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Dave, I guess, a guest for the evening.
Yeah, we have a special guest. This is the first time on the podcast where we actually have a third member. So welcome, Dave, to the show. He's a big Star Trek fan, and we are welcome to have him. So for today, we are talking about Tapestry. Is this the best Q episode? Was that really Q in Picard's dream? And can we just refer to Picard as Jean-Luc Picard from here on in? All things we'll be talking about in today's episode. So why did we choose, actually no, so let's first go into the description of the episode. So for those of you who don't remember, I'll just read off the first one from IMDb. So Tapestry: when Picard's artificial heart fails, he is offered the rare opportunity to go back in time and set right the mistake that led him to his demise. And Dan, if you want to read that one right there.
After being attacked on an away mission, which isn't what happened, Picard dies and meets Q in the afterlife, who offers him the chance to change a crucial moment in his history and prevent mistakes he made in his youth.
Yeah, that's actually a far better description, because that one actually mentions Q, who's prominent in the episode.
But it wasn't an away mission.
Well, no, Picard went on an away mission where he got hit in the chest, right?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
So, it's been a while since we've done this, actually. It's been over a month. And we talked about the beers at the beginning. Like, well, okay, let's just say what beers we're having right now, and then we'll review it at the end. God, I've had this one so many times, but it is the Octopus Wants to Fight IPA. Very, very good. 6.5er from, actually, I don't even know. Oh, yeah, it's from the Great Lakes Brewery. And we'll talk about it after. And Dave, our guest, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Witty Traveler from Railway City in St. Thomas. Wonderful wheat beer. One of its main things is a nice white pepper aftertaste, little bite to it. I'm just happy, really, as far as craft goes, to not have an IPA that's just a hoppy machine, but something I've actually haven't had for months on end, as a little difficult to get here in London.
I'm drinking the Strongman. It's a Belgian quad from Railway. It is not good. And it's at 10.3% alcohol.
Yeah, we'll be drinking all of these at the end of the show. So, Dan, I can already see that you'll be giving it lower than 5 Earl Greys out of 10.
It's worth noting the look on Dan's face right now is definitely one where I'm sure the rating's going to be just right up there.
It's not good.
No, but Dave, we are happy to have you as our guest here. It's the first time we've actually, ever, as I said, had a guest on the show. So hopefully the audio quality is good. We only are using two links here at the moment, so it's a bit of a work in progress. But we'll go with it. Anyone who knows how to add a third mic to voice meter, please leave it in the comment section. Our Facebook page. Alright, before we get into Tapestry, let's just mention there's a new Picard teaser out there. Dan, I know you're eager to see it, but okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, anyone who knows Dan knows that he doesn't like to watch anything before the actual thing comes out. So, can I mention one thing about it? Just one very small thing. It's not a spoiler at all.
Okay,
so there's a flashback on the Enterprise D in 10 forward. That was really cool. So that was the highlight of the teaser. That doesn't spoil anything for you.
I can wait another 2 weeks. Three weeks.
It's 1 month almost exactly today.
22nd.
23rd.
Yeah, I can wait. I'm good.
Yeah, I cannot, clearly. Clearly I cannot, and they have renewed the card for season 2 already, so.
Yeah, that's a good sign. Yeah. Yeah.
So that means a lot more podcast episodes, right? I mean, well, how many more episodes are we going to do for until Picard actually comes out? at least three, I would say. All good things.
Lessons, all good things. One and two should be one episode, really.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe one more in season seven of Picard, but I can't think of another one of the Picard episode in season seven.
I'd have to go through them episode by episode again just to see.
I remember season seven being one of the weaker seasons.
Yeah, the good episodes were much better, but there were a lot of not great episodes as well.
There was one that everybody hates called Masks. I'm sure you guys... Are you guys familiar with that one? I know Dan, I think you are. I don't know about you, Dave.
If you were to go over it, I know I'd be familiar with it. But I think, as a longtime listener, I would say it almost might be worth it to explore maybe a not-so-great Picard episode. Maybe just to get... a completely different view of one where his character is either not as strong or they just don't take that, as you like to say, the Renaissance man perspective of Picard. Just to compare how he's evolved and how he's come through the series, it might be something worth exploring, the Masks one. Because if I remember, if I remember the episode, it's nothing spectacular by any means.
No, but it's not as bad as... I know the actors actually hated that episode. Like, the people who were actually acting in those, they were like, ugh, this is a horrible script. This is, I don't know what I'm doing here.
The whole thing was built around Brent Spiner, and he did a great job with it, but he hated it. Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it's definitely not one that I care to watch again.
Like, I remember all the actors saying how silly they felt being up at like 3 or 4 in the morning, acting with these masks on, and just trying to make the best of a bad script. But, maybe we won't do that episode. But I'm just saying it's not as bad as most people say. And actually, a little segue, but I just watched the Voyager episode called Corrections. You guys seen that? That's the one where Paris and Janeway turn into lizards.
Yeah,
that one kind of one of the worst episodes, but I really actually liked that episode. It was interesting. It's the concept of what happens after you go past warp 10.
Yeah, you know, evolution and whatnot,
So you don't actually turn into a being with a bigger brain, bigger head. It goes full circle. You kind of, you know, you evolve into a reptile, and who knows what level of consciousness you're actually on. You know, so it's not the expected route.
Or it's all Battlestar Galactica, where all of this has happened before and all of this will happen again. Big circle.
So I still have to watch the BSG. I think one of the reasons this episode is so good is that it's something we can all relate to. You know, what if we could go back in time and change the mistakes we made in the past? And that's the most relatable aspect of this whole episode. And I mean, it's great because like we've all had that thought, right? Like, I mean, we've all made mistakes. And I thought, okay, well, if I didn't do that, then my life today would be much better. And Picard actually gets to live that with you. So I think the relatability makes this such a good episode.
I like his response when Q asks him if he has any regrets over his life, and Picard says, what does he say? He says, no regrets other than dying and finding out that I'm here with you. So, yeah, that's perfect.
You know, that wouldn't be the worst thing. I like Q. I mean, with his omnipotent powers, he can just transport me anywhere. You know, like, that would be Q's path. I don't know if he finds me interesting. I think he's very selective in who he friends, but...
Sure, yeah. I was going to say, I find Q interesting in the way that he finds all humans interesting. Just some peek a little more. Because he's always interested in humanity. It's just particular individuals he seems to latch on to.
Yeah.
And obviously, Picard being one with his charisma and how he handles life... seems to be outside of Q's grasp. He doesn't quite get why he does the things he does, because he's such an excellent example of like a pure humanitarian. Everything he does is for the good of maybe not himself, but the people around him.
Yeah.
And he just, I don't get it, because he's omnipotent and I can just snap the fingers, everything's good for everybody.
Yeah.
He doesn't get that it's effort and work.
Well, yeah, and I think part of it too is he's omnipotent and immortal, and he doesn't understand the drive that the very short-lived creatures have too, I think.
Well, how much would you change if you had
powers of Q, you turn into and you turn into like a threat because you would have this inherently complex being. Or when you keep your humanity, and it's really tough to say. I mean, it was given to the right character, right? For a brief period, season one or two, where Q gave back his powers.
Season two, I think. Yeah.
Over time, I think you would change you as a your personality would change.
Was a power corrupts absolute. Yeah, power corrupts absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so the Q's had these powers since the dawn of the universe. So it's
We'll say a question of normalcy as well, as once you have those powers, doesn't matter how long, if you're immortal, soon that just becomes normal.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, you might be absolutely corrupt, but soon it'll just be your day-to-day. There, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You'll lose that that margin of what's bad, what's evil, because you're in control of everything, and nothing has consequence.
Do you remember that episode where Vash travels with Q, or is she... I mean, that was an opportunity I could not pass down. And he was like, okay, well, Steven, come and join me for this grand adventure, and we'll like explore the cosmos. He would definitely do that. And I know Dan would do that, because he's willing to go to Mars and abandon everything on his Earthbound life. I think Mars is a shithole, and I'm never going to Mars.
Like, I want to be the first human on an entire planet inhabited by robots.
Yeah, this like terraform.
Outnumbered by robots.
Terraform Mars, I say, get me there without dying. I don't want to die from radiation levels. I want to eat well, you know. And
you want to glamp.
What's that?
Glamour camping. You want to glamp?
Yeah. You know, like I don't want to be like that guy in the Martian. I am not. Like, you throw me in the wild, I'm gonna die like really quickly. You know, I can't grow potatoes. I'm not gonna do that shit. You know. I would be an honor, man, but that's just me. So, and I need artificial gravity. You know. But no one ever talks about artificial gravity. You know, like, you would think you create a centrifuge.
Well, once you're on Mars, it would have its own gravity there. Yeah, you know, well, you wouldn't have to...
It's not comparable to Earth's gravity.
Yeah, it's true. I don't want to deter here, but just the tapestry. We're a little ways into tapestry here. And one of the big things that I really... liked about this episode, and I read a few things mentioning it, is we have Picard in his first instance seeing Q after we see him on the medical table. Q's all in white. We have this shiny white background that Q is initially, you know, in the white robes, which normally is not a Q fashion. Not, he's always tongue in cheek. He immediately shows up as this very essence of himself, a godlike person, being like, this is your afterlife. And I always wondered at that moment, is if was Q being tongue-in-cheek playing God, or was that Picard's initial perception of Q in, because they sometimes,
it was the former.
Yeah, because I always wondered, because it was, you know, I see the white light and stuff, you know, you wake up, your eyes aren't working that great, the moment you pass, is it what you want to see first until Q kicks in, or Q's there, and that's the only way that Picard would accept that it was Q.
It's totally Q being tongue-in-cheek.
Being there, I'm in the white robes, and I am a deity.
Yeah, and like from what I read on Memory Alpha, they had a hard time filming Q in his white robe, because he just looked like a floating head, and it really stilted his performance. he was more serious in that white room, right? And so he's usually more...
You know, if you could, you end up, you're dying, you're in pain, you agony, your life slips away from you, you're unconscious, then you're dead, you open your eyes, you're in what you assume to be heaven or some place like that, you walk through the white background, and then you see a figure, you walk towards the figure, oh, I'm going to meet an archangel, I'm going to meet God, I'm going to whatever, and then it's the sarcastic bastard Q. Oh, interesting. So maybe I'm not dead. Maybe I'm just in some shitty game that Q's playing.
And okay, so I also wanted to mention that in one of the Star Trek novels, Q Squared, actually, Picard asked Q, did this ever happen? And Q's answer was yes and no.
Well, Q kind of made a joke about it. And Picard says, like, no jokes, Q, not about that, not ever. And then they have that conversation. Yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah. It's a little ambiguous.
Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, too. As you know, as usual, you guys have the episode on in the background. Moments ago, I saw what I recognized as chess being played by Q. And then he knocks the board over. I can't recall another current human game I've ever seen on this show. It's always been some...
Domja?
Yeah, Domja, or...
I want to play Domja, 4D chess, or 3D.
Yeah, or that weird finger-tantalizing game that Data plays with that guy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, like, I want to know what Greasy Squares is all about. They always talk about Greasy
Squares. Yeah.
That sounds so fun, that game.
But I just—it was the first. It was the first like contemporary in our time game that I've seen them play. Is there any other time that there's like a standardized Earth game?
We don't have. We have 3D chess here.
Baseball. And
baseball. And that's right.
Was it holodeck though?
Oh yeah.
Now I don't know what you'd call this. Maybe after death experience, but it still showed up. It's one of the few game times I've seen a regular Earth game that's not some. We're going to make up a name for a... Like, whatever... Like, he's not playing pool, but he's playing something billiards-like.
Variant.
Yeah.
And it looks fun, actually. I'd be curious to play.
Anything that's got blinking lights and stuff, I'm in.
It has a hole. It has holes.
Holes in the table. Yeah. I'm in for some weird skill game, for sure.
Yeah. Actually, another one on DS9, they play darts all the time. Julian Bashir and Ryan.
Yeah, that's very true.
Until they find out that Julian is edited.
Yeah, genetically engineered.
Yeah.
And then O'Brien's like, hey, you stand here. I'll stand. Okay, so also, I know you guys aren't too familiar with DS9, but the place where Picard lands, it looks exactly the same as where the Prophets are in Deep Space Nine. Have you noticed that?
Same set,
yeah. I don't know if it's just an observation. It doesn't mean anything probably, but maybe set designers just got lazy. It's just a big white room, right? Trying to save some money, exactly. So another point I wanted to raise was that at one point Q is like, you are Picard, you are not that important in history. But Picard is actually quite important. I mean, if it weren't for Picard, the Federation would not have been introduced to the Borg, for instance, right?
Yeah, I think Q means more along the lines of he's not important in that if Picard never existed, the Federation would still exist. If Picard never existed, the Federation would always exist. Like, it's not like he affected things on that kind of grand scale.
Perhaps.
I think is what he's trying to say.
But remember, in all good things, Picard kind of inadvertently had a role to play in the potential destruction of the universe, right? Do you know what I'm talking about with all good things?
That's been years. I have to watch it again.
Yeah. But it was Picard who created that anomaly in the first place, in the future, right? So, anyway, that's...
The future that then rippled back through time.
Exactly,
yeah.
That is a paradox.
Yeah.
Anyway... That was kind of an asshole thing to say, I think. You're not that important, but Picard's been through a lot. He's done a lot for the universe. He's saved the galaxy a couple times, hasn't he?
Fully admit, not the Trek fan who's here at the moment. But yeah, Picard seems to stumble upon these events where maybe at the beginning seem innocuous, but end up becoming these galaxy or quadrant-saving events. Picard begins the Borg introduction, but years and years later, that introduction leads to, again, them being saved. And the introduction early led them to early defenses, and you can trace it back so many different ways.
Yeah.
And even that particular event, not just...
There's the argument with that, too. Because Q introduces them to the Borg earlier than what would normally have happened, which makes the Borg aware of the Federation, which then directs them to look at the Federation as something to conquer, take over, which wouldn't have happened for X amount of years if that hadn't happened. So Q, more than anything, just hastened the confrontation between them. So who knows how it would have turned out if it had gone the other way. Whole weird little setup like that. I can see both your points. I agree with Picard. Q that Picard's not that important in the grand scheme of things, but on our level, more or less, he's kind of a champion of humanity and and a driving force behind a lot of the events that happened in that universe in that time.
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to mention was that, so back in the day, Picard was this huge ladies' man thing, big womanizer, but later on in the series, I mean, it was mentioned that women are generally a mystery to Picard. So there's a bit of a continuity issue there, right? I mean, it seems like he had some decent luck as a youth, but later on in life, he just abandons the pursuit of women in full pursuit of his career. So I don't know how that works in terms of the continuity there, you know.
Or he's emotionally stunted when it comes to his love life. He's stuck at, you know, the age of 19 or 20. As far as sex goes, other aspects of his life, he's a mature adult. Yeah, I noticed that too. I couldn't really come up with a good explanation for it.
Yeah. I just want to say that the actress who plays Tenney is very, very good.
Actually, just at the moment right here, Picard is talking with her, and he has such, just talking about his women, quote unquote, issues, he has such a wonderfully professional seating next to her. His body language says, okay, this is professional, but he's got the most intense look at her that's just kind of accents that unsure what to do. Very stark and professional seating, but definite intent in looking at her and having thoughts you can see running through his head about the what ifs and should I and shouldn't I's of the whole situation. But being Picard as he is, professional duty seems to always outweigh.
Yeah, I think we already passed this point in the episode, but one of the best parts of the episode was when Q comes in and asks, is there a John Luck Picker here? Definitely quotable, definitely the best quote of the whole episode. Just John Delancey's delivery as well. Is there a John Luck Picker here? You know, I love that part.
John Delancey and Patrick Stewart have great chemistry together. Chemistry. Always have great chemistry, yeah.
Is it the characters who have great chemistry or the actors who
No, it's both of them, yeah, for sure. It's both, yeah, actors and characters.
Because one is, like, as I told you in the previous episode, it's like the Batman-Joker relationship, you know? One is kind of like the trickster, the other is like the more serious, level-headed individual, you know, the two clash, but,
Although in the Batman universe, Joker isn't omnipotent or immortal.
Well, this is also the very first on-screen appearance of the Nausicaans. So they've been mentioned a couple times before, but
I love the scene where they wake up in bed together and it's Q. Like, that's perfect. Yeah. And Picard's first response, pull the sheet up to his chin, cover himself. That's adorable.
This has been made into a meme so many times.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, how much did he actually witness, I wonder?
Well, the Nausicaans, I don't think are ever mentioned before or after.
Did we ever see Nausicaans after this episode?
I don't think so. I don't ever remember them being mentioned, seeing them, anything.
I love the makeup of the Nausicaans. I think it's very interesting.
Well, it reminds me of Predator.
They are like shitty Predators.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Aggressive Klingons, basically. But, and like in this scene that we're watching right now, is the morning after scene where Picard is looking to potential. That you got a feel for Picard, you know, like he's been given this opportunity to change his life, and then Potenity just rejects him. And
she's more realistic because they're going on separate ships to separate assignments in separate parts of the quadrant.
Yeah,
not going to see each other ever again.
There's a will, there's a way, right?
Yeah, I'm with her on this one.
You're with her. Even in this particular scene, it's moments like this where every time I've watched the show, and it's from a technical standpoint of the actual show, not particularly Picard, but it comes super obvious. This is soap opera type lighting. Everything is soft, has a bit of a glow, and it's really, despite what people say, I find it really accents at times this is an emotional moment for him because everything has a certain look to it. There's the drama to it and that. And yet when we sometimes pan out a bit wider and stuff, such as when he gets attacked by the Nausicaans and that, doesn't have the same look.
Yeah.
Not all the time. But it definitely kind of reflects his emotional state, his being at the moment. Just, again, suits it really well. Like, looking at the description, he's got backlit, wonderful glow. He's the soft being in this moment.
I just felt so bad for Picard in the scene where Batani is kind of shooting him down. Even though we can make different decisions in our past, doesn't mean that they're always, or it doesn't mean they're always the right decisions if we had the opportunity to change them.
I know right here the wrong decision was to leave a plate of food at a table and leave it, as she apparently did, which looks like three dumplings.
And what was Picard? So Picard was dating a woman 20 years older previously in the episode with Penny.
He wasn't dating. He was going on a date with. He met her the day before, the night before. Yeah, but she was definitely older.
Definitely older, yeah.
And they all have a very, very, very awkward going away party amongst
super
the three
awkward.
Themselves.
This is the most awkward going away cheers. Because everyone kind of hates each other at this moment. Like,
well, they both hate Picard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
yeah. The other two don't hate each other, but. And then it's just any excuse to get out. That was funny watching Picard second guess throughout the episode but determined to change his choices and avoid getting stabbed and then the end result.
Okay, you're
on. So just at the moment right now, actually, we see Picard in his, what's his rank in this one again, Steven?
Junior lieutenant
in his science officer uniform. I always wondered, as he's now age appropriate for the rest of his main Enterprise bridge, is this just a dream sequence, more or less, as part of it, or is this an actual cue going, here's the alternate reality, and he's having a, for lack of a term, a real moment in this alternate reality with his real self, or again, just fantasy?
Well, in my interpretation of it, and what I wrote in line, is that Q has created a pocket universe where there are no repercussions into the main timeline or any other timelines. Because Q is an unlimited being, he can create pocket universes. And so whatever is happening here, it's isolated, no bearing on, or will have no effect on any other main timeline universes.
But what we've seen over and over again in the TV show and the books, alternate timelines do exist.
But is this an alternate timeline?
Well, I would say it'd be an alternate timeline in that they just find, Q finds the one where that happened and he just throws Picard into it, keeps him aware, pulls him back out again, no big deal. That, because we see it over and over again, alternate timelines, different dimensions, the multiverse floating around. I could totally see that being one of the paths that Picard could have taken.
Yeah, like, and I was wondering if that was the case, or is this like dreamception? This is, because his death dream, and then we've gone even deeper into a potential different universe within the dream, because obviously we don't go from this to snap out of it, and we're back into the, we'll call it like the post-death type event. So was it just the dream within a dream, or is this an actual, we're going to plant you in one of these pocket universes and show you what it would have been like?
Well, it comes back to the whole thing, did it actually happen too, right? Is that a real thing? Did he do his thing? So is this just a dream? And if it is just a dream, fucking anything can happen. You could bounce back and forth around, jump all over the place. So then it would make sense if it's just a dream. You could jump into the future. He could have gone farther to see where he ends up on his deathbed, that kind of thing.
The one thing that was always curious to me, especially watching this moment when he's talking with Riker and Troy and Ward, is why are Riker and Troy they have no attitude differences, but they had no Jean-Luc Picard.
The
circumstance. Why is Troy still out of uniform on a ship? Why is Riker still just the same? Like, she might not change due to attitude. Troy's attitude might not change, but I doubt she'd be allowed to run around with the proper uniform. Like, it's literally still Picard's Enterprise, just without him at the helm or the head. Yeah, and there was another draft where he was actually Captain Jellicoe, who was the commanding officer of the Enterprise. And if that was the case, Troy would have been in the appropriate attire for the Gina Command episode.
Yeah.
And Jellicoe ordered Troy to wear the proper uniform.
Let's be real. Jellicoe was the captain. Nobody else would be on that ship. They would have all gone into a different
They would have all requested it.
Yeah.
Well, like, if you were given the opportunity to go back in time and change certain things in your past, would you do that?
100%.
Me too. I would totally do it.
Yeah, for sure.
But you would, as Picard has experienced it, you would unravel the tapestry of your life. So you would not be the person you are today if you could go back in time and change all the mistakes you made. I mean, there are at least 5 mistakes I could tell you right off the top of my head that I would definitely change in my life. One that occurred recently, I won't even get into, but, you know.
Your conception?
Oh,
hey-o!
No.
Zing!
I have no good comeback for that right now, so yes. but yeah, I mean, would you guys do that, though? I mean, it's a difficult question, because we wouldn't be the same people we are today if we hadn't made the mistakes made in our past, if you want to even call them mistakes, because we're the sum of our total experiences, and that is the thesis of this episode.
For sure, but is it one of those, depending on the size of the event and how you handled it, sometimes it's a mere detour. You can still reclaim the path you're on. Maybe it's 5 years later than currently you hit that path. Is it 10 years later? Was it only a month or two, depending on the event? Because it's one of those things where, depending how much you know about yourself, I find, as Picard knows himself very well, is some of these events can derail you or deter you greatly. Some of them are just speed bumps. So even if you regret it, it might take you off for a little while, and you get back on the path you started before said event. I know there's things that I regret that I even know if they didn't happen, I might not be the same person, but I don't think it would be a vastly different life. It would be minorly different. Different friends, maybe, different careers.
Like, imagine you hadn't joined dodgeball. You know? I should just preface by saying, you know, Dave is here as a result of... Actually, I might be wrong with this, but are you here as a result of joining the dodgeball?
Very close, actually. I am here as the result of a blind date, and then that date bringing her best friend on to sort of vet me.
Yes,
that best friend ended up being your co-host, Dan, to which I have now had a friendship and him almost mentoring me in my current career.
Well, that's a perfect example. You know, this is the tapestry of life.
Exactly.
Like, if A hadn't led to B, if B hadn't led to C, then this podcast would not be existing, right?
So exactly.
There are a lot of factors that came into the creation of this podcast.
Yeah, so in this particular, as I mentioned, this one, I think, was a larger detour than maybe some other thing. Obviously, I don't regret this. You guys are wonderful guys. But some other things previous to that, I don't know if it was minor speed bumps that I regret or huge detours. But at this point, unfortunately, time as we know it currently is linear.
Yep.
And I'm where I am.
But, you know, like, there's a theory that there are multiple universes out there. And each universe is... How do I put this? From every decision we could have made, there is a different universe where that decision was made.
There's an infinite number of choices for an infinite number of moments in your life.
That's exactly.
And therefore, there is an infinite number of universes with infinite outcomes.
That's exactly what I meant. And sorry, the more beers I drink, the less coherence I get when it comes to this sort of thing. But yeah, so, you know, if, like, say, 5 years ago I decided not to join dodgeball at that specific moment, we would not be here recording a podcast, right? So there's an altering universe right now where this isn't even happening, and none of you are listening to this wonderful podcast right now. But as a result of all of us joining dodgeball at this specific time, we are here right now recording this, right? So that is part of the tapestry of all of our lives, and all of you listeners listening to this, we are all in this together.
I like when at the very end Picard gets stabbed by the Noskin again. He looks down, he starts laughing because he sees he's been stabbed. His life is going to turn out the way it should. And then remember back to the beginning of the episode where Picard and Q are watching a young Picard get stabbed, and the young Picard laughs. Like, interesting. So that moment, maybe it's just repeating itself over and over and over.
And I'd say, just noting to that point as well, you see Picard, he's awaking on the medical table. The first thing he does wake up is start laughing.
Yeah.
That moment from whatever dreamer was in is still continuing.
Yeah.
So it's so vivid in his mind that it's now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I like how that plays out, the ambiguity of it all.
Though, and I've always wondered, I don't know how many uniforms Picard has. Moments ago, he's in the ER, let me say. He's got more or less a mortal wound on him. And in our next scene, same uniform, completely clean and just fine.
They recycle the uniforms and new ones get created at the drop of a hat.
I assumed it was some sort of replicator.
They recycle the uniforms back into the system so that the energy gets used for the replicators of the ship.
Okay, so again, lowest Trek fan in the room. I'm sorry, there's a de-replicator?
It breaks it down.
Like an unreplicator?
Yeah.
What?
It's like a fire. It burns it for energy.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a thing you just shoved in.
It recycles.
Dematerializes it. Yeah.
Like with the lights and everything.
Yeah, it recycles it and it goes off. Yeah.
You have just blown my mind, sir.
Some Star Trek engineering books you should take a look at.
We're just going to take a quick pause. We'll be right back. So I just wanted to mention that any material can get recycled back into the Enterprise systems and used for additional energy. That's one thing I wanted to bring up. And, so it looks like we've pretty much concluded everything we wanted to say about this episode. And have we answered the question that I proposed or that I posed at the beginning of the episode? Is this one of the best? Or is this the best Q episode in TNG?
Definitely up there, because it's Q being kind of a dick, but not being so overblown and pompous that you kind of hate him. Here, he's just obviously helping Picard come to a conclusion about his life, which is kind of cool.
And Q's powers, I think it's one of the best ones, as he literally has free reign with Picard more or less at his will. He's basically deceased at the moment. This is where Q has free reign. He can do anything he wants, and Picard, as usual, can't really say this isn't happening, this isn't real, because it's all up for grabs in this one. So I think as far as his powers, this is one of the better ones. We don't hear Picard going like, "Phew, send me back! I need to go back to the ship! Leave me alone!"
That was good.
Because it is, he's very unsure what's going on here. So I think it's, like, for me, it's probably the best Q episode.
Well, I would say it's definitely probably number two. I would say All Good Things is the best Q episode.
Okay, yeah. But we haven't got to that one yet.
We haven't gotten to that one yet. So that's when we'll do it.
So this one's obviously first, so far.
So far, this is Tapestry is the best Q episode. Second, so far, in accordance to the ones we've done, is the one where Q introduces the Enterprise to the Borg. That was the season two episode, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that episode now? We didn't cover it. We didn't do an episode about that one, but Q Who. I think it was Q Who.
Yeah, because we were going to do that one, then we decided not to because it wasn't Picard enough. Yeah, but that was a good one too. But out of the definitely this is definitely one of the best Q episodes, and also definitely one of the best Picard episodes in relation to Q, because of the back and forth that the two of them have, the chemistry that the two of them have is very apparent in all the episodes that they have together. But I think never more so than this one, where Q's agenda is mostly to help Picard, so it puts them on a more level playing field, it seems like, so their barbs back and forth, and Picard's consternation at Q's antics, it's a little more not family-like, but a little more friend-like, or a little more less higher being to lower being, maybe.
Well, did we come to an agreement on if this is an isolated universe thing or alternate timeline?
I go with alternate timeline.
You go with alternate timeline. And Dave?
I'm going to steadfastly agree with in a dream. It's all part of his post or maybe death experience. It's just the dream within a dream of this is what it could be. And they didn't transport him to a different or parallel multiverse. It's just here's your kind of post-death and here's what it had been like. As a literal, just a stage acted play with the characters in place.
Or it's basically Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap, yeah.
Basically Quantum Leap, too.
Yeah, kind of idea. So, yeah. Where he can put him in there,
and bring him pull back, him right back out. Yeah. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
So like I think you're kind of agreeing with what I'm saying. I think it's a bubble universe.
Yeah, more like a bubble. Yeah. Yeah. Specific to that event.
Yeah. And it has no bearing on any other timeline. Like once Picard wakes up, then that is basically destroyed. You know. So.
But Picard just carries the memories, yeah. So he retains the lessons.
That's right. Only him and Q retain the memories, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Guys, can you think of anything else you want to say about Tapestry before we talk about our beers?
I'm pretty drunk, so no.
Yeah. Oh, Dave? Yeah.
No, I was going to say, as a whole Tapestry, again, a wonderful insight into the decision-making of the man we know as Picard. Because even after seeing that maybe he was a lowly officer, but he could retain his mortal body without these enhancements or anything, he'd still prefer to go through the arduous task of being mortally wounded,
possibly dying,
but knowing that incident helped him kind of really concrete his want for that professional.
He's a better man because of it.
Like that really solidified I gotta proceed in a captain-like manner through the rest of my life, because without doing that, well, here's the consequences.
Yeah, that long slide towards the middle.
Yeah, right. And knowing that I'm still gonna be confrontational, I'm gonna throw those risks out there, I'm not just gonna shy away, and made him that daring captain, that guy who puts it out there going, there's a chance, no, but I know the people behind me, and I know myself, and it's a likely yes.
Basically, the sum of the episode is that we are, not the sum of the episode, but the lesson of the episode is that we are the sum of our experiences in life, right? So, as a result of everything that's happened to Picard, he was made the man he was through his choices, through his actions, through his experiences. Thus, we have Captain Picard. So. And once you start to unravel all those strings, then you ruin the tapestry of your life and you're not the man that you are.
Or woman.
Sorry. Yes, thank you.
Or person.
In the context of this episode, man. But yes. If we want to be super politically. Okay, so let's talk about the beers we're drinking and then we'll talk about the next episode we're going to do and play the trailer.
Go with Dave first. Yeah, he had...
Yeah, sure. So, the Witty Traveler again, Railway City, a wheat beer with a wonderful, and I'll never stop mentioning this, the white pepper aftertaste. As it's been a beer I've been looking forward to for such a long time. I don't know, I gotta say that in the overall taste of beers I've had, I'm gonna really give it a nice high. I'm talking like 9.5.
9.5? You can't go that high on episode one, really?
Good Lord.
My beer. No,
there's nowhere to go but down.
No. Okay, but relatively speaking, apart from many other beers I've had, this is by far one that I absolutely enjoy. Okay, by all means, you can have some. It is not your
That's horrible. That's yet. Horrible.
You're maybe don't like enjoy wheat beers. As the wheat beer, I find it smooth, and as I continue to drink it, from what I recall, maybe not the sharpest aftertaste that memory tells me.
Yes, a horrible aftertaste.
But, yes, okay, for you.
For me.
I find it an absolutely wonderfully smooth beer, and by no means is normal. Which, for me, to reference, I had my friend Dan here pick me up some beer right from Railway City themselves, because it was hard to find or near impossible. I have looked forward to and enjoyed all four beers I've enjoyed this evening.
Four beers. Yeah. Well, Dave, I don't know how you possibly enjoy that beer. It's one of the vile things I've ever had. But it's only, 4.3%.
Okay, but have you ever had a stout?
Yeah. God. That's horrible. Beer. Have a Guinness. Let's all have a Guinness. And then we won't eat or drink for 2 weeks.
This is relatively speaking to my beer experience. That for me, this is my higher end of beers I enjoy.
Because, okay, I know when you have two beers at the bars we generally go to post dodgeball games, you have one or two and you are officially drunk. And you've had four.
Ooh, does not taste like that.
You've had four 4.3%ers tonight, right?
Dave's drunk.
Yeah, so.
I don't feel incredibly inebriated, but.
Dance, Bucky, dance. Yeah. Dance.
Okay, so wait, this is also from Railway City.
Railway City,
right?
Yep.
Okay, so
based out of St. Thomas.
Yep.
Excellent brewery.
I had two tonight, the first one being the Strong Man. It was a large bottle, not a 1 liter, but I think 3/4 liter?
Like a 10%.
10.3. So 500. So a bottle and a half, okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, hold on, actually, let's backtrack. So Dave, how many, you said 9.5, right?
Yeah, okay.
So Dan, absolutely right.
The Strong Man, I'll never drink it again.
Never drink it again.
I don't recommend it.
Why not?
Probably shouldn't have been made.
Because the taste is horrible.
Why not? Because it's a terrible beer. It tastes like the inside of a toilet. you know that toilet in Trainspotting? Yeah. The worst kind of toilet. That's the water out of that toilet is what that beer tastes like. So that for having said all that, I give it a 0.75.
Wow, that's the lowest.
Wow. Ever.
I can't give it a zero because it was a beer and I drank the whole thing. I can't say that I would drink a whole Guinness by myself. I would need help to drink it, I think. It's so heavy that I can't really enjoy it. I drank the whole thing. I will never drink it again. It's a 0.75. That's it, full stop. But the second beer I had, the Double Dead Elephant, I've had many times before. I think I've had it on the show.
I don't know what rating you gave it.
I can't remember what I gave it before. Like, this time, in comparison, after that, it's a solid 9. Just solid 9.
Yeah.
Any dedicated listeners can go back in their previous episodes and see what Dan rated it back then.
But, I'm going to say like 7.5 or 8.
I'd give it like an 8, so I'm glad I remember it. It's a really good beer.
So, as a long-time viewer, I know you guys have the Facebook page and that.
Yep.
Why don't you guys, I'm just suggesting, start recording our beer values. Put our actual reviews on the site. Exactly. I always hear we've had this before. I can't remember. But I understand when you're 2, 3, 4 beers in, like myself, maybe you can't recall your ratings, but it would be good to see how you generally rate your beers. Especially with your listeners, it would be nice to see both of them really enjoyed Company A or Beer B, so that I can go, let's try this, because...
I think I can speak for Dan, that we are really happy to have you here tonight, and have a long-time fan joining our cast tonight, and we have covered many beers on the show, and I'm sure we have been a little redundant in our ratings.
That's okay, Stephen. What about your beer this evening there?
Yeah, okay, so I've had 2.5 tonight. I started with the the Octopus Wants to Fight IPA, which I've had many times, and I'm giving it a solid 8. And then I transitioned to a beer that was a little odd at the beginning in terms of its aftertaste, but it's called Killer Cupcake Panda by Flying Monkeys. It's a double IPA, 8.3%. 7.5 I would give it, just because it's an unusual aftertaste. It's kind of
I think the coolest thing about that is the can itself, not the beer.
The can, it's like you stare at it and you get a headache, kind of. Yes. I mean, it's very, very colorful.
It's one of those, 3D eye exactly. posters you had in the 90s and stuff. Yeah. If you, closer and away from your face, I swear you're going to see something that doesn't actually exist there.
Never quite see it.
Everyone else is like, oh yeah, there's a sailboat, and you're like, I see blurry lines. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so going to the description of my beer, and I know why it tastes so weird now. It's dosed with exotic pandan leaves. I don't know if you guys ever heard of pandan leaves. Citrus custard. I don't like custard.
Citrus custard. That sounds disgusting.
That sounds terrible on its own.
And vanilla cupcake aromas.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
It sounds awful.
I'm pretty sure that was in a pyramid scheme, Shane. I heard about once.
I'm not even done yet.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days.
Yeah.
Citrus custard and vanilla cupcake aromas animate the marigold haze of this bouncy double IPA with an edgy cut of bitterness on the finish. No, I did not agree.
I'll be honest, it sounds like an English major wrote the description of that beer.
It did not have an edgy cut of bitterness on the finish. It was just shit. So I'm giving it a 5 as for its overall ambition. Then I had the classic Lone Pine IPA, which I'm still drinking now, which is a classic 6.5% from Gravenhurst, Ontario. You can't go wrong with that. It's not as good as the Double Octopus, but it's a solid 7.25. Okay, so the next episode we're going
to
do is...
No, we have to rate the episode.
Oh, yes. Okay, let's go from Dan to Dave's me. Okay, so Dan, start.
So,
So,
shut up, Steven.
So, Tapestry. I really liked this episode. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would, because I haven't watched the episode in a long time. Great Q Picard in play. Interesting to see Picard as a young man, how he became who he is, or part of how he became who he is. Though, the only reason I don't give it a higher mark is because it's only about Picard, not about the rest of the crew, and I really like the interaction that he has with his crew. So, having said all that, I'm going to go with it's about an 8.5 for that. Not perfect, but really, really, really good.
A lot of the point band, I totally agree with. Myself, as an episode, I found it a little more overall lackluster than some of the other ones. Q was great. Picard was great. The philosophical points that Steven and the episode itself brought up, wonderful. But overall, there's no shine to it as an episode. It's a very well done straight play of philosophical dilemma. But like any Star Trek fan, very little in the form of action and intrigue. It was just a straightforward the what if you could go back and change that event, which we all have that conundrum with throughout our lives. So it kind of lacked a bunch for me. Overall though, purely as a Picard-based episode, I still find it a high 8, 8.5, somewhere in that realm, because it gives us so much insight to what occurred as a young man and how he handled it to bring us to the Picard we know and love. So still really high up there, just overall the episode kind of lacked. But as a Picard, wonderful, wonderful high marks.
Yeah. No, I really agree with what you guys are saying. I mean, it touched on, I mean, well, first I'll say the acting was really good in it. I mean, John Delancey and Patrick Stewart really knocked it out of the park with their speeches and the overall acting, and the fact that it's such a relatable episode, you know, in terms of asking the question, if you could go back in time and change anything, would you do it? And if you could, how would it unravel the tapestry of your entire life? You know, it's, you know, there would be unforeseen consequences. I think that's a very interesting premise, and it's not something I've ever seen in a television show before. And I love the characters of Q and Picard immensely, and just seeing them interact so often in this episode was greatly rewarding. So I'm giving it a 9 for sure. Yeah.
So I can't give my beer a 9.5, but you give an episode a 9. How can you go from
there? Well, it's
my first beer. It's my favorite beer. This is your favorite episode.
No, it's not. I don't know if it's my favorite one I've done so far on the show. Like I've lost track of the ratings.
I'll be honest.
Have I given a 9?
I don't think I've heard anything higher than a 9.
Well, I will say that
I've heard a lot of 8s, 8.5. This is the first 9.
The first 9 I've given. Yeah, okay. Well, there is one that's coming that is above a 9 even. Okay. Yeah.
All right, just curious there.
Yeah.
It's a true barter episode, though.
Yeah. Well, I think we... Oh, yeah, so we are going to play the trailer for the next episode we're going to do called Lessons. So...
This episode that I haven't watched.
Passion unlocks Captain Picard's hidden emotions.
Can we agree not to let our relationship get in the way of our work?
But fate forces him to choose between romance and duty.
I'm so sorry.
Don't say you're sorry.
Now, when a raging firestorm threatens hundreds of lives,
Darren deployment teams, we've got a problem.
He must risk sending the woman he loves to her death.
Which came to risk.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's a very soap opera-esque trailer, but I look forward to the episode nonetheless.
Yeah, because it kind of follows up. Okay. So because it kind of follows up on an episode we covered earlier in The Inner Light. So, I look forward to talking about this one. It's going to be interesting. You know, Picard doesn't have much experience with women, except for Vash, maybe. And anyway, I'll leave it at that.
So, until next time, I'm Dan.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Steven. And go out there and enjoy your Earl Greys. Until next time.
Rap, rap, rap.